injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome to another podcast at Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the United Steelworkers, and with help from great local sponsors like Madison Computer Works, S&R Remodeling, AMS, the Axley Law Firm, and St. Vincent de Paul. John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation with us. Comrade Nichols, the interview that Donald Trump did with Lester Holt this afternoon evidently wasn't coordinated with the people that he had sent out and the press release that he had sent out after Director Comey's firing. Let me play a little bit of the president this afternoon speaking with Lester Holt from NBC, who interviewed him earlier today.
Look, he's a showboat. He's a grandstander. The FBI has been in turmoil. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. You take a look at the FBI a year ago. It was in virtual turmoil less than a year ago. It hasn't recovered from that.
Monday, you met with the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
Did you ask for a recommendation?
What I did is I was going to fire Comey. My decision. It was not.
You had made the decision before they came in.
I was going to fire Comey. There's no good time to do it, by the way.
Because in your letter, you said I accepted their recommendation.
Yeah, well,
you had already made the decision.
I was going to fire regardless of recommendation.
So there was really room.
He made a recommendation. He's highly respected. Very good guy. Very smart guy. The Democrats like him. The Republicans like him. He made a recommendation. But regardless of recommendation, I was going to fire Comey.
Let me ask you about your termination letter to Mr. Comey. You write, "I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation." Why did you put that in there?
Because he told me that. I mean, he told me
he
that.
He told you weren't under investigation with regard to the Russia investigation?
I've heard that from others. I think.
Was it in a phone call? Did you meet face to face?
I had a dinner with him. He wanted to have dinner because he wanted to stay on. We had a very nice dinner at the White House very early on. A dinner was arranged. I think he asked for the dinner. And he wanted to stay on as the FBI head. And I said, I'll consider. We'll see what happens. But we had a very nice dinner. And at that time, he told me, "You are not under investigation," I knew anyway.
That was one meeting.
When you're under investigation, you're giving all sorts of documents and everything. I knew I wasn't under. And I heard it was stated at the committee, at some committee level, that I wasn't. Number one.
So that didn't come directly.
Then during
him.
A phone call, he said it. And then during another phone call, he said it. So he said it once at dinner. And then he said it twice during phone calls.
Did you call him?
In one case, I called him. In one case, he called me.
And did you ask, "Am I under investigation?"
I actually asked him, yes. I said, "If it's possible, would you let me know, am I under investigation?" He said, "You are not under investigation."
But he's given sworn testimony that there is an ongoing investigation into the Trump campaign and possible collusion with the Russian government. You were the centerpiece of the Trump campaign.
Well,
I
know that I'm not under investigation, me personally. I'm not talking about campaigns. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm not under investigation.
Oh, sure he isn't. Of course not. Okay. Well, so Donald Trump evidently decided to make an announcement that he'd made up his mind that fig leaf that they'd put out there was dishonest. And now Sarah Huckabee Sanders and everyone else, including that woman, that blonde woman. Why am I drawing a blank on her
Kellyanne
name?
Kellyanne Conway.
Kelly, thank you. Yeah.
Boy, that's one to let slip your mind.
Well, we hadn't seen her for a while. You know, she disappeared for a while, right?
You know, hey, can I tell you just an update? I know where she was.
At the Brewer game?
This is how far she's fallen. She was on the opioid tour. The opioid listening tour.
Oh, the opioid listening tour. Oof.
Yep. Oh. Which, of course, took her to Maine and West Virginia.
Oh, sure. So they'd really kind of ice flowed her.
Well, yeah. Although they did arrest a reporter.
Yes, I saw that in West Virginia. Yeah, because he asked Tom Price a question.
I know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. So your thoughts about the president's statements there?
Woohoo! You know, it's got to be, you kind of wonder what would be the most terrifying thing that Reince Priebus could hear, right? And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of options at this point, but I'm still going to go with the idea that the president has set up another interview.
Right.
Because these things are just astounding. I mean, it's, you know, he also did interviews with Time Magazine and The Economist. And just before we get into the Comey thing, which is central, I just note that he, in the I believe it was the Time Magazine interview, he seemed to suggest that he had ceded civilian control of the military to the generals.
Oh.
You got to read it. It's really astounding. He said, yeah, they kept coming to me asking for authorization to, like, land troops in Yemen and things like that. And they were coming at all kinds of times. And I finally just said to him, hey, you guys are professionals. Just go do it. I'm not kidding. You have to read it. It's an astounding statement. And then in the interview with The Economist, he started going on about priming the pump. You know, the phrase priming the pump.
Oh, I love this story. Yes, he claims he invented the phrase.
Well, yeah. And the nice thing is that The Economist people, who are really smart, they're like some of the smartest people around. You know, just they are. And so they're very gentle in their mockery of him. In the questioning, he goes, he's talking about priming the pump, and they say, yeah, that sounds kind of Keynesian. And he didn't get it. He did not get it.
Of course he didn't get it.
And he said, well, yeah, so you've heard of that phrase, right? And clearly he did not know that they were sort of poking at him a little bit. And the only reason
I think we can all hardly wait for Paul Krugman's next column, right?
Oh, that's going to be a good column. Yeah. But I mean, didn't Trump go to Wharton?
Yes, he did.
I mean, was it?
And he got really good grades, John.
This is making me think, like, he might have gotten in there for some other reason than his knowledge of economics.
You know that doesn't happen. I know that doesn't happen, John. Please.
Okay. So the final thing from other interviews, before we get into the heart of the matter here, the one last thing from other interviews is, I think it's in the Time interview, where he's talking about some sort of operating system. And he goes on and on. It's just, yeah, it's digital. You know, that's really complicated stuff, like Albert Einstein stuff.
Oh, boy.
Digital. You know, fight. We're about 30 years into the digital revolution.
At least 30 years, yeah.
And I'm not making this up. You got to read the interview. He starts going on about how maybe steam-driven things are better.
There we go.
It's really good. When you read it, even conservative commentators were pointing it out and just like slapping their heads.
Well,
that brings us back.
Here's the paragraph that struck me from the Washington Post. Private accounts of more than 30 officials at the White House, the Justice Department, the FBI, and on Capitol Hill, as well as Trump confidants and other senior Republicans, paint conflicting narratives centered on the president's brewing personal animus towards James Comey. Many of those interviewed spoke on condition of anonymity in order to candidly discuss the deliberations. Trump was angry that Comey would not support his baseless claim that President Barack Obama and his campaign officers were wiretapped. Trump was frustrated that Comey revealed in Senate testimony the breadth of the counterintelligence investigation into Russia's effort to sway the 2016 presidential election. And he fumed that Comey was giving too much attention to the Russia probe and not enough to investigating the leaks. Well, wasn't it a leak that led the Washington Post to the story about Sally Yates basically giving them the information that Flynn had been, which blew this whole thing open? If somebody hadn't leaked that to the Washington Post, Flynn would still be in office.
I guess you're right. And you know what else? Jeff Sessions wouldn't have had to recuse himself.
Right.
I said, although, sort of the wide eyes.
Yeah, laughing. Right. Although that doesn't seem to matter much, does it?
I was going to say that he did recommend getting rid of the guy who was investigating the thing he recused himself from. But with all of this said, right, Trump's interview there with Holt was a fascinating thing because what he, you know, this is sort of internal politics and, you know, how you set up a government, how you make things operate. But, you know, he's got a deputy attorney general who, by most accounts, is one of the few solid guys in the operation, right? You know, you can love him or hate him, but he seems to be
Looks a little creepy.
Hey, well, that's not going to disqualify you, right? But, you know, I mean, he's got background in history. The Senate basically said, he's not that bad, you know, let him go. So Trump calls him in, right? They get over at the White House there. And Trump says, yeah, can you pull together a memo on this guy, right? And they pull together a memo in like an hour, you know. And I read the memo. It's actually not that badly written, and it does counsel that, you know, getting rid of a head of the FBI is something that you shouldn't do casually, right? You know, it's kind of a big deal. And so then Sessions throws the cover letter on. They put all this stuff out as the justification. And effectively what they're saying is we're doing this because our deputy attorney general investigated this stuff and told us this is really bad. You have to act on it. And now Trump, within 48 hours, has turned around and said, yeah, that was just a ruse. You know, I was going to do this anyway.
Well, and that was evidently enough for Justin Amash to now call for an independent counsel.
Yeah, Justin Amash has been very good on all this. He's the conservative Republican, actual conservative, I like to say, Republican congressman from Michigan, distinguishing him from the corporate conservatives who, you know, don't maybe.
Oh, I've got a clip to play of Paul. I've got a clip to play of Paul Ryan here in a couple minutes.
Okay. So anyway, here's the deal. What has happened here is I think you've got a genuine breakdown and unraveling within the White House. And I think there are people who now are scrambling to keep Trump functional, right? To keep ahead of it so that it doesn't degenerate to the point where you really start to lose not just Justin Amash, who's always been a very principled figure, but also other Republicans who, you know, accept that this president is not functional. And when I say not functional, I don't mean, you know, stumbling around crazy, aside from maybe like on Friday night. But somebody who, you know, is so out of sync with the, you know, kind of the basic requirements of the job that it becomes concerning for not just liberal critics of the guy, but for everybody. And so I think what you've got is Reince Priebus and other people running around the White House saying, he's going to fire Comey. Quick, let's get some paperwork together. Or he's going to do this. Let's get some justification together. And Sly, if I'm right about that, that only lasts so long. I mean, you can only keep ahead of that for so long.
Well, when they decided to use that rationalization, did they forget about this?
It took guts for Director Comey to make the move that he made in light of the kind of opposition he had, where they're trying to protect her from criminal prosecution. You know that. It took a lot of guts. I really disagreed with him. I was not his fan. But I'll tell you what. What he did, he brought back his reputation. He brought it back. He's got to hang tough because there's a lot of people want him to do the wrong thing. What he did was the right thing.
I mean,
for a couple weeks there. This is where the challenge comes in. That's old. That's campaign season. You've got interviews as president where he's talking about his confidence in Comey. You've got his spokespeople saying last week that he had confidence in Comey, and he didn't pull that back.
Yeah, but that was the best soundbite I got. I like that one. It's so declarative.
It's an outstanding soundbite, but it also, it's where it gets interesting here. And that's why I bring it up. It's not to criticize the soundbite at all. It's the right one. But say that he kept saying that. And so what changed? When did something change? Geez, Sly, when did Comey go up to Congress and do his testimony?
Last week.
Yeah, isn't that ironic?
And when did he ask for more money?
Right, like maybe Monday?
Monday!
Right. And why was Trump meeting with his deputy AG and his AG? Why was he talking about this stuff? Were they talking about it because there was a real big problem with Comey, i.e. he was a bad manager, he was a bad player, he's somebody who should be removed? Well, they could have done that since January 20th. Or were they talking about the fact that he had come to his superiors, people he trusted, people he, in the case of the deputy AG, somebody he respected to, consult with him, to work with him, and he had said, you know, this Russia thing is really getting serious. We're finding a lot of material here. We need money. We need money to send agents to distant locations. We need money to dig deeper into this. We need support and resources. And instead of giving him support and resources, they went over to the Trump White House. And they obviously met with the president. We know that. And it wasn't like the president saying, yep, we got to get to the bottom of this thing. You know, we got to figure this out. Of course, we got to do what's right. They begin a process of removing him. If indeed that's the scenario, right? And there's blanks to be filled in, details to be reviewed. But if indeed that's the scenario, Sly, then you have a president of the United States who was informed that an investigation into his campaign or people associated with him, into things that matter to him a great deal, was expanding and getting more serious. And at that point, he removed the guy who was in charge.
Stand by.
Everybody says Donald Trump has a right to remove people. He doesn't have a right to remove people in that circumstance.
John Nichols from the Capital Times. We'll be right back at Sly'sOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
We're talking to John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation at Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. All right, so this is interesting. Chuck Schumer's response. This was from Tuesday afternoon.
If Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein does not appoint an independent special prosecutor, every American will rightly suspect that the decision to fire Director Comey was part of a cover-up.
Okay, and here is, as long as we're playing Democratic reaction, here is Elizabeth Warren.
Well, let's put it in a little context. Remember, Sally Yates was acting attorney general, and one of the things she told the Trump administration was that his inner circle advisor, Flynn, was compromised by the Russians, and she gets fired. Preet Bharara is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. He's the one who has jurisdiction over any investigation into what happened at Trump Tower. And after Donald Trump originally embraced him and said he wanted to keep him on, Preet gets fired. And now it turns out that James Comey, who says he has an active and ongoing investigation, will not rule out investigating Donald Trump directly and the connection with the Trump campaign and the Russians. And now James Comey gets fired. You put those together, and it's pretty clear what's going on here. Donald Trump doesn't want anyone coming any place close to an active investigation into the relationship between the Russians, the Trump campaign, and Donald Trump himself.
That needs to be repeated over and over and over again, what she just laid out there.
Did it pretty well there. pretty prosecutorial set of references there.
I think she actually did go to a good school.
Yeah, I think she actually got in kind of because of her skills.
Yeah.
yeah, this is serious business. I mean, what we're talking about here is why people have been around for a long time use a very cautious term. They say we are on the cusp of, or we are on the verge of, or we are careening toward a constitutional crisis. They don't say we're in a constitutional crisis because they're serious about this. They understand what that means. And so they, you know, John Conyers, who was the only member of Congress who was there on that committee in 74 that dealt with those Watergate issues and voted for those impeachment resolutions. Jerry Nadler, quarter century in Congress, a guy who's, you know, chaired the equivalent of what Russ Feingold chaired in the Senate, the Constitution Subcommittee in the House. People like this are saying that, you know, we're on the verge. We are on the edge of a constitutional crisis. And the reason they don't say they don't go all in is because they're not doing this as partisans. They recognize that when they say we are in a constitutional crisis, when they say we have hit that mark, there is no turning back. You have to take the necessary steps to hold the wrongdoers to account. You got to rein them in. And I think a lot of people are still very cautious about this. But if the scenarios that are being laid out, if the things that are being talked about are real, how can you not take action to remove Jeff Sessions as Attorney General? How can you not take action to look at the President of the United States himself and say, you know, what did he know? When did he know it? What did he set out to do? And why did he set out to do it? And if you've got evidence from this guy who's like a sieve, who's constantly talking about, you know, all his, whatever comes into his head, thus suggesting the evidence won't be that hard to come by. If you have evidence that he set out to shut down an inquiry into wrongdoing that could shame, embarrass, undermine, harm his own power, that's an incredible abuse of office, Sly. That's an epic abuse.
Well, and you put that part and parcel with his testimony when he, during his confirmation hearing with Senator Franken.
Oh, well, I mean, with Sessions, I think we're done. I'm sorry. I was talking about Trump there.
Okay.
No, with Sessions.
You started with Sessions, so I didn't know where you crossed that line.
I apologize. I bring up Sessions. I think that circle is closed. He lied to the Congress of the United States, or at least he has been accused of lying to the Congress of the United States. He did not choose to go back and address those issues with the Senate committee, which is what he should have done. He didn't correct his testimony at the time when he could have. He instead chose a public relations gambit, which was to announce that he was recusing himself from inquiries into the issues that were raised. And now, less than 2 months later, he has made explicit recommendations in writing, a recommendation in writing, that is a clear abandonment of that recusal. I mean, I don't think there's any question with Sessions that he should not be in his office.
All right, let's talk about Speaker Ryan's reaction to this.
Well, I think the president lost patience, and I think people in the Justice Department lost confidence in Director Comey himself. And I think the president was looking at a situation where you had senior Justice Department officials losing confidence, and he does not want to see the FBI in disarray. He wanted to see the FBI up and running and moving well, and I think Director Comey kind of became an issue himself. And so it's obviously within the president's authority and role to do this. I think he made an important command decision. That's the decision that is in his right to do it. And now let's go forward. Let's get a capable person to replace him, and let's just make sure that the men and women are there at the FBI keep doing their jobs. Yeah. That's the way I see it.
So a couple more things on this, and just quickly, Senator McCain and a few others are calling for a special prosecutor. Obviously, Democrats are in lockstep on calling for that.
Idea.
Why is that not a good idea?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. I think first of all, we have three investigations going on right now. We have a House investigation by our Intelligence Committee, which is the appropriate committee to do that, I believe. And we have the Senate Intelligence Committee. You just played Richard Burr doing an investigation. And you have the FBI investigating all things Russia. So I don't think that that's a good idea. I think the Intelligence Committee is the ones that should do this, because don't forget that the methods and sources of our intelligence gathering are also at play here. And we have to be very sensitive so that we don't compromise that information as well. So I really do believe that these three investigations are the way to go. Let's get them done. Let's see them through. Let's go where the facts may lead. And I do think that Director Comey was compromised. Clearly, his superiors in the Justice Department felt that way. And the president made a presidential decision and removed him.
It's that simple.
Well, there you have it. And everything's fine with that House Intelligence Committee, right? That's going great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder if Paul Ryan, you do wonder about him, right? Is he sharp? Does this guy know what's going on?
No, but I don't think I don't think he's particularly sharp.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that maybe the excuse, right? That he doesn't actually understand how absurd what he's saying is? I mean, because one or the other. Either he is, he makes Kellyanne Conway look like a straight shooter, right? He's saying this stuff even though he full well knows that the House Intelligence Committee investigation has collapsed because of his incredibly irresponsible, dysfunctional oversight. The fact that he personally empowered a chairman who then kind of went off the rails and messed everything up. He also has to know, of course, it's the subject he's discussing, that the FBI inquiry is now in a pretty messy situation because they've removed the director of the FBI. So, I mean, it's an absurd statement. And an embarrassingly bizarre.
He sort of alluded to it, and Lindsey Graham has mentioned this as well, as far as independent counsel, that what the FBI is doing right now is a counterintelligence investigation. And so in this situation, a special prosecutor would not be a good idea. Would the FBI investigation cease to exist if a special prosecutor came in?
Of course not. No, I mean, this is, and neither would the House and Senate ones necessarily. I mean, depending on how you set it up and who's doing what and how. I mean, do you understand? Think back on your history slide. When Archibald Cox was removed in that Saturday night massacre, it wasn't like there wasn't, House and Senate committees and other people that were looking at some of these issues.
I just learned
it was going on many levels.
I learned two things this week that are fascinating. And by the way, I kind of like James Comey. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people don't like him. I think he's kind of an interesting guy who has...
Tall.
What's that?
Very tall.
No, I think there are a lot of virtuous things about him, and I'm serious when I say that. Do you disagree?
No, I don't. I don't know enough about him to...
First of all, he put Martha Stewart behind bars. I think that's hilarious. Second, it was Robert Bork who they used to fire Archibald Cox. I had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's how he vetted himself for the Supreme Court.
But let me ask you this before we go, because Sally Yates' testimony this week was so important in the fact that she had not only rung the alarm bell, but she had three or four meetings where she laid out the deep peril that Michael Flynn had put the country in because of his actions with the Russians, and that Donald Trump left him in there for 18 days, including leaving him on a phone call with Vladimir Putin, and did not remove him until the Washington Post blew the whistle, I think should not be forgotten because of the Comey firing. I think that is just an absolutely astounding story.
It is. It's incredible. And... do you know what somebody said to me the other day, which I thought was really good? Said that this woman had watched Sally Yates' testimony, and And she said, you know, you get so cynical about government, about people that are in it. You think everybody there, even the lower level people, are, you know, just cogs in bad machines and stuff. And then you see somebody like Sally Yates, and you realize that some of the most honorable people in America still serve in government, and that they rise to high positions, and they take seriously their oaths of office. They go out of their way to do what is right and necessary for the country, no matter what their ideology, no matter what their partisanship. And I think Sally Yates showed that. I actually think it was very interesting to watch her testifying next to Clapper, right? Because I thought she was so much more exemplary. I didn't think he was terrible or anything like that. But, you know, you had this, here you had this woman who most people don't know much about. I mean, don't know her history that well. And she was so on top of things, so prepared.
So much more impressive than Eric Holder.
Well, and you know what? And you know what the interesting thing is? In the right scheme of things, she is a person who you'd like to think could have been Attorney General of the United States. I mean, nominated, serving as such.
All right, one more thing. Malcolm Nance came on this afternoon and made this point about the FBI.
Counterintelligence officers, the spy hunters of the United States, who are the ones investigating this case. This is amazing. I mean,
does this affect their morale? Obviously, I misspoke.
No.
But do they? What happens to them when the head of the bureau is fired for a variety of reasons? What happens to their investigation?
Nothing happens to their investigation.
Are you sure?
I believe. I mean, you know, you could say through implication that the president of the United States shot a, you know, warning shot across their bow. Mm-hmm. But this particular division of the FBI, mm-hmm. these are people who hunt America's enemies within the United States. This is not a normal investigation of the FBI by any stretch of the imagination. They are looking for Americans or foreign espionage officers who have had communications and affected this cyber warfare operation against the United States. To tell you the truth, this is a career maker for some of them. They're not going to let this up.
What do you think about that?
I hope he's right. But I'm dubious, incredibly dubious, because I think that the selection of the next head of the FBI...
David Clark?
I don't think so.
Well, his name's on some people's lists.
I'm pretty sure it's not going to be Chris Christie either.
But
here,
or Rudy Giuliani, Bernard Carrick, possibly.
It should, you know, it should be without a question. Totally qualified, really ready to do it on a whole bunch of levels. It would be a in some ways a parallel move, but the right thing. It should be Lindsey Graham. Sorry, it should be.
That's not going to happen.
You think? But here's the big deal. And we haven't talked about this enough, and I know we're almost done. But you understand, everything that Trump did was his first step as regards Comey. Everything that's happened up to this point. This circle is closed when a nominee is made for director of the FBI. And if that nominee is not someone who is absolutely independent of Trump and willing, clearly willing to investigate him, not where it's a vague thing like Rex Tillerson saying, oh, yeah, I'll do the right thing. But, you know, a serious one where there's no question that you've nominated somebody who's going to do this right. Then everything that came before is amplified. The firing of Comey becomes amplified, all this other stuff. And so the real story of, if not this week, next week, but certainly these days that we are in, is that selection of the next head of the FBI. And it's a really big deal, Sly, because it answers your question about what your guy on television said there. If the next head of the FBI is not someone who inspires full confidence and who absolutely makes it clear to those people who are doing these investigations that they must continue and that there can be no politicization, no barrier, nothing in the way of them getting to where they got to go. If it's not someone who can meet that standard, then you have to turn your attention to Trump, and you have to ask the question, you know, should this man continue to serve as president of the United States? Because if he's in fact set things up to shut stuff down, that is an incredible abuse of office.
It became very clear this afternoon when acting, or whatever title you want to give him, acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe testified, Donald Trump has made a whole bunch of new enemies that maybe at one time were sort of in his corner because they thought Clinton was getting away with something.
Yeah.
He's made a whole new group of enemies. So now he has the intelligence community and the FBI mad at him because they find him insulting.
Well, Tim Weiner, the great former New York Times reporter who was on Rachel Maddow last night and has written books about the FBI and these other agencies, said effectively that. And so suddenly now you have forced a clash between professionals and this, you know, kind of seat-of-the-pants president. And you were saying, well, they may have liked him, they may have disliked him. I actually think that a lot of these people who work in these agencies at the CIA, at the FBI, they really work hard not to like or dislike. They work hard to kind of try and keep it as straight as possible. But if they are forced by the actions of a president to believe that they have a duty to their country to make sure that they can continue to pursue investigations that must be pursued to do their job, that's a unique sort of enemy. Not an enemy who just likes you out of spite. That's an enemy who is concerned about the good of the republic.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. Thanks for coming to SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, and squad cars, ambulances, and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.